Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Orient Cement Limited Q2 FY23 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Mittal from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Melissa. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you to the second quarter and first half of FY23 earnings call of Orient Cement Limited. On the call, we have with us Mr. Deepak Khetrapal, MD and CEO of the company. At this point of time, I will hand over the floor to Mr. Deepak Khetrapal for his opening remarks, which will be followed by an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good afternoon to everyone, and I join Harsh Mittal in extending a very warm welcome to all of you. Thank you for sparing the time. Thank you for investing your time with us. And for those of you who are invested with us, even financially, thank you for investing in us and believing in us. Thank you so much. Where do I start this call? I mean, in the sense that we all know the kind of quarter we've had. But even then, let me at least start with some of the positive things that have happened during the Q2, and I'll obviously come to the hard numbers in a minute. I won't take too long over it. But a few good things that I certainly want to point out to people who are interested in us. One, for those of you who've seen that in social media and all, Deloitte does run a global program called Best Managed Companies all over the world. And in India, this was the second edition. And they have a very robust process through which the best managed companies are actually selected. And they take us through a four-stage evaluation cum screening process in which we need to make detailed presentation of our strategy and communication and implementation capabilities and innovation is another pillar. Culture and commitment is one pillar, and obviously governance and financials. So based on that, after the four, we finally were selected amongst a handful of companies to have the title of best managed companies. So that's something that we are very proud of because it was a fairly tough competition and a very robust evaluation process. Otherwise, all of us are aware these days how awards are actually being given out or how they are being received. So this one is special because it's actually come through a very, very professional evaluation process. So that's something which I thought some of you would be interested in knowing. The other thing, very important thing is that we, in this quarter, which actually was a lean quarter, we managed to actually migrate from SAP ECC version to SAP S/4HANA on cloud. So we are using Google Cloud as the platform to host our data. And we are told that we are perhaps the first cement company to have done this migration. And also we take pride in the fact that this migration, which typically is considered a 6 to 9 months project, we did an insanely short time of just 3.5 months, not about 3.5 months is what it took us from starting the work to going live. So again, a very important step, not in terms of just, you know, how quickly we did it, that we are the first cement company who've done it. We also have done it to keep our progress on the digitalization and to become more and more a company which is driven by data and data analytics and decision-making, which will be largely based on the data that we have with us. So it's not just a technical migration, it's a complete migration. And the reason to choose Google Cloud as a partner along with SAP S/4HANA is because Google Cloud has the reputation of offering the best analytics capabilities in the way we can create our data lakes and data oceans and things like that. So we are all set. And so that's another, I would say, positive in terms of building the backbone of the company so that we managed to complete. And the third important thing I would like to just mention, again, it's been there in social media for people like some of the people who might be in the market. We launched, it's a very small launch as of now, but we actually launched a new brand. As most of you would remember, our Strongcrete as a brand has really been doing well, and we are very delighted about this performance. We've actually launched another premium cement where we actually have launched the brand name Orient Green. And why we are calling it Orient Green is simply because this cement has about 15% less carbon footprint than the industry norm. And obviously, we are positioning it as a green cement, as an environmentally responsible cement. And the byline also is a responsible cement for the responsible you. That is, you could be a house builder, you could be a contractor, you could be, let's say, a consultant or an architect. So responsible cement for the responsible you. And the brand is Orient Green. It's priced at, if you remember, our Orient, our Strongcrete is today priced at 45 rupees higher than our PPC. Orient Green is priced at 23 rupees higher because some of the customers have been telling us they're finding 45 rupees premium to be a little too steep. That's why we are right now at where we are. I'll give you the numbers. And Orient Green is another option from our stable where we are offering something which is in the middle of our PPC cement and our Strongcrete and leaving the choice to the customer how much more they want to pay. But we are sort of, strictly speaking, Orient Green is being focused on that segment of the market where people are actually becoming environmentally conscious. It's not just environmentally conscious in a simple way of how we produce the cement. It's also, for example, in the amount of water they need to do while curing the slabs that they cast and things like that. So there are obviously benefits for the consumers there. And the price, as I mentioned, is 23 rupees higher than RPPC. So that's the other launch. And initial response has been rather good. We're very happy. I think almost every day. We've currently launched it only in a few districts of North Karnataka. Largely, we're sorting out the availability of bags. And, you know, when you start launching a product, lots of things need to come connected. So we started with North Karnataka, which is, as it is, a little more difficult market, but it's closer to our Chittapur plant where we are producing the cement for now. And we plan to roll it out, but within that North Karnataka market, our average per day, we are actually casting 3 to 4 slabs every single day from the time we've launched it. So for a small market, for a product which is completely positioned differently, we are happy with the initial response. And we will obviously keep supporting our customers who buy this product with our technical services to actually train them how to use it well to have the full benefits of the product. So these are, I would say, the good things from the recent past that I wanted to sort of place before you. Now, coming to Q2, as I'm sure all of you have seen that Q2 actually has been, I'm naming it a brutal year for the industry. It's really been brutal on us. We too have had our own share of grief. And the grief has come more from the fact that we had absolutely unprecedented rains in our catchment areas. To give you an example, and as you know, we would be selling cement in, 300, 400 kilometers around our plants. So our mother plant, which is Devapur in Telangana, and that plant, as it is, it's a very high rainfall area. About 900 millimeters is the rainfall that we receive every year. This year, we already crossed 1,550 millimeters. And the rain obviously is not happening only on our plant. It's happening in the entire region there. And just to give one data point of how much heavy rainfall is. And when rainfall happens, not only does the construction slow down, it also, the mining of coal slows down, the gypsum availability goes for a toss, you get fuel which is wet. The alternate fuels that we are using more and more during monsoon, it's very difficult to use them when they come wet. As it is, their calorific value is low, and when they come in the wet form to you, it becomes very difficult to use them. The liquid hazardous waste that we've been consuming became very short supply in the month of in these 3 months of monsoon. There's been people are talking only about sales being hit, but I think equally important is the impact on the availability of various materials and the costs. So that's been a negative for us for sure. The overall on this, for example, for our Devapur plant, we always buy our coal from Singareni coal mines, the domestic coal. And when we're buying that coal, this particular quarter, we've seen a very strange phenomenon of the rakes being not available. So we are having to transport coal from Singareni mines to our plant using trucks by road. And obviously, that adds to the freight cost, the input cost of domestic coal itself goes up, not because the coal itself is that much more expensive, but also because the freight costs have gone up. So these are the impacts of, I would say, the heavier than normal monsoon that we felt. So first we were ducking for, as I say, cover from the rains that we were getting. And I think when we declared the results, I'm ducking for cover from our investors because obviously they are unhappy with the results. And I can assure all of you and all of the investors that we are very, very frustrated because no matter what we've tried, we still are, let's say, significantly lower, more than 70% drop in EBITDA, whether on absolute terms or per ton basis. At the PBT level, we actually have gone minus, although it's a small loss, but frankly, having read at the PBT level is a matter of great embarrassment to all of us. But since I don't have the luxury of hiding, being a listed company, here I am talking to all of you and trying to explain as to what all hit us. So disappointing as they are, here are the hard numbers. Most of you have seen it, but I will perhaps have a little more detail than the numbers that you've seen so far. Our net sales, as you've seen, are down 1% YOY, and they are sequentially they're down 14%. I'm talking rupees crores. The volumes in this particular quarter have been at 12.36 lakh tons, 1.24 million, as many of you would be quoting, which is nearly 3% down over last year. But if we remember that last year in Q2, we had sold about 24,000-25,000 tons of clinker. If we, and this year clinker sale was out of question because the coal supplies were so uncertain, we would never use our coal and make another cement manufacturer have our clinker at all. So we didn't sell any clinker at all. So if we exclude that purely on cement, the drop is 1.4% over last year. And sequentially, the drop in our cement sales is in volumes is about 10%. On H1 basis, on the face value, it seems that we are flat, 26.37 lakh tons vis-a-vis 26.39 last year. But again, last year I had 24,000 tons. So from that perspective, perhaps we will have nearly 1% growth in H1 over last year. Realization in Q2 has been somewhat better. We have a realization which is 4% higher year-on-year. But on sequential basis, it's down 4%. Which is, like I said, not something that we have liked, but between Q1 and Q2, which is a heavy monsoon season, the drop in price perhaps was par for course. Excepting that, the costs behave very differently. So that's where the pain is, not so much in the volumes per se. Like I said, volume being lower by 1.4% and let's say the prices being higher than 4% over year-on-year, it won't look so bad, but the results are bad purely because of the costs that we've had to incur to produce the cement. So heavy rains and the slow markets all across in our markets at least, and the markets are not supportive with all the increases in costs that I'm going to narrate to you. The ability to pass on these costs to markets have not been fruitful at all, and that's where the pricing has really, really hurt us. Or rather, the costs have hurt us because we couldn't pass it on to the markets. In the markets that we are operating, especially when we talk about Telangana, especially when we talk about Karnataka, there are no mega projects in any cement cycle. We do need the support of some large government-sponsored projects in our area of operation to maintain the volumes. Now, they have not happened. Despite that, the volumes that I'm quoting are where they are, which I believe are not so disappointing, although we wish they could be better. In the absence of demand from south, we actually have done somewhat better. Actually, Maharashtra has supported us rather well. So as a result, our sales in, if I look at Maharashtra and the west as a whole, they are close to 55% against the normal 50-51% that we have. So Maharashtra, we've been able to sell more because demand was there. The other impact of heavy rains is that the larger project who have the infrastructure to continue construction despite rains, because they have more mechanized equipment, they have better labor camps, they have everything, they consumed a lot more of cement. And this particular quarter, our B2B sales, or the non-trade sales as the industry calls it, have actually risen to 55% from what I said, that we normally used to be doing about 40-odd percent, there's 55% in this particular quarter. What that basically means is when you actually move more towards, my apologies. Non-trade is 45%, not 55%. 45 from over 40. My apologies, please make the correction. Which was 39% in the same quarter last year, which has gone up to 45. What that does is that basically, because B2B market is a lot more, I would say, favored towards the customer, because they're all large customers who negotiate very, very hard, and almost being their volumes being attractive, almost every cement manufacturer tries to book that order. So we get prices which are challenged, and also they consume more of OPC, which, as you know, being unblended, costs us more to make. So the impact on costs, if you see higher, it also takes into account the higher proportion of non-trade sales and higher proportion of OPC sales. Another dynamic which is important to remember is, as I mentioned, the markets in South have been a little soft. So the impact has been that the capacity utilization in this quarter at our Sitapur plant has been a lot higher than the capacity utilization at our older plants at Telangana. Now, what that does is, now as I think most of you would again know, our Telangana plant uses domestic coal which we buy from Singareni coal mines. They may become a little more expensive because of the freight cost by road, but petco costs have been at a completely different level. And for Chitapur, even at the cost that we've incurred, Chitapur, the lowest cost fuel even today is petco. Because from Singareni or elsewhere, if you transport coal all the way, the landed cost of coal at Chitapur becomes unaffordable, so we've been using more of petco. And petco as it is has suffered the highest inflation. So if in the overall fuel mix, one is overall clinker production mix, Chitapur's contribution for the company is a lot more than Devapur. There we use more expensive coal. So the entire fuel mix has for the company as a whole has got driven in a way where the costs, heavy cost or high inflation, the cost of petcoke has hurt the overall power and fuel costs. And if you actually look at now, all these dynamics, more OPC, more production at Chitapur, even then when I'm sort of in a way looking at my power and fuel costs, I'm sure you will agree, although they look 61% higher than last year at 1647 rupees per ton of cement, they, to my view, from whatever results I have seen, they're still amongst the lowest power and fuel costs in the industry. Maybe just one or two other companies would have a slightly lower power and fuel cost. And this is all the negative factors I've already counted in front of you. And this is despite the fact that Chitapur is actually the more efficient plant, but it's dependent on petcoke purely because of the landed cost there. The other element in power and fuel cost also which has hurt is that at Devapur, we did not get enough of the higher quality domestic coal. And for running the production to the extent that we ran, we had to use some of our very expensive imported coal, which normally we use only as a sweetener to the domestic coal. To make sure that we keep producing and keep delivering to the markets, we also had to use some of the inventory of sweetener coal, which is a lot more expensive than imported coal, being so much more expensive. So we had to use more of that at Devapur also. But the aberration that I'm calling them aberrations, and hopefully they are just transitory, that when the capacity utilization at our Devapur plant starts getting better in terms of how it used to be in the past, and Chitapur sort of keeps producing well. So all these aberrations in terms of higher OPCs than our norm, higher the utilization of capacity at Chitapur compared to Devapur and all, hopefully they should blow over, and we should sort of get back to normal fuel mix for the company as a whole. In the previous quarter when I was doing the investor call, some investor had asked me for the fuel cost on a million calorie basis. So I can give you some idea of how the costs have been. So in Q2, petcoke for us, our consumed cost has been 2,568 per million kilocalories. Just to set the perspective, from 1,500 last year is 2,568. That's the petcoke cost at Chitapur. You can see the difference. The domestic coal also, for various reasons, including the fact that the Indian miners also have been getting up the price. Those of you who could see the profitability of Coal India Limited, if you saw, given the increase in their volumes and sales, increase the profitability, obviously means they have kept up their prices, obviously taking advantage of the fact that international prices of coal are very, very high. So even domestic coal in this quarter has been around 1,900 rupees per million kilocalories. From about 1330 year-on-year. In this atmosphere, when the other fuels were expensive, even the alternate fuels, they've nearly doubled in cost over last year because everybody saw the opportunity. And the irony is that even when you go for renewable power, because coal is expensive and power is expensive, even the renewable power generators, they have increased their prices of renewable power, although they have had no cost escalation at all. But taking advantage of the higher price of other power sources, they have also increased the prices. It's been beating from all possible quarters. I would say, overall fuel cost, actually, if you want to know, so I've given you how each of the fuels was there, but overall for us in the last quarter, we've had the fuel cost at 2,379 is the weighted average cost per million kilocalories of fuel that we've had, which is up from 1,336. I'm giving you now a blended cost after having given you the pet coke and domestic coal and those costs. And for the H1, the blended fuel cost for us is 2,358 million calories per million kilocalories versus 1,296 of last year. So I've given you some idea of the inflation in the fuel cost. The saving grace, quite honestly, for us has been the renewable power that we've used, which actually has reached in the overall mix at least 18%. Of renewable power, both at Jalgaon and at Chitapur, where we are buying the renewable power at these two plants. Telangana even today makes the renewable power a lot more difficult to use because of the state rules. And as you know, so outsourcing or sourcing power from elsewhere is driven by states the way they want their grid and their power generation companies to perform. With the waste heat recovery project at Chitapur, which is under construction, which, as said earlier, we will be commissioning towards the end of this financial year. When that comes in, obviously, our waste heat recovery, again, is more or less a renewable power because we are not burning any fuel to generate that. So obviously, this percentage will go up even further. We continue to be extremely efficient, as we've always been. There's no gap there. And as a result of that, if you see, despite the fact that I'm telling you how much is the increase in fuel costs, and this fuel cost I'm talking about has increased both for kilns and also for our CPPs, but the power and fuel cost per ton is not looking as high simply because we managed to increase renewable power, we managed to increase to the extent possible. I mean, we've been handicapped a little bit by availability challenge on the alternate fuels, but even then we have used alternate fuels, therefore the overall cost is not looking as high as perhaps the landed cost of fuel is. So that's, again, I would consider an achievement. So what next? I can give you all the reasons, but the end of the fact is that I'm feeling extremely frustrated and disappointed, as all of you would be with what we've had. As a result of which, EBITDA is, as I said, from 137 crores in the quarter last year, we are down to 37 crores. And per ton basis, we come to about 300, which is, again, more than 72% drop over last year. Can't be anything which is more frustrating, but we have to live through these times and hope that some of the transitory challenges will get over. The blended realization, I've already told you where they've been. Total costs per ton are obviously largely because of it. The one thing which I certainly want to highlight to you, one is the variable cost of power and fuel costs. Some of you would obviously be seeing our total costs. I'm now talking about fixed costs, looking a little bit higher than what perhaps they should have been given our track record. And on that, again, I would like to just share a little more information with you. Which is that when we compare our fixed costs in Q2 this year vis-a-vis Q2 of last year, there are a few things which are, I would say, distorting the equation. To begin with, for example, last year, in Q2, we had reversed some of the provisions which had been made earlier for variable pay to our employees. And last year, when after seeing how the year was progressing, even the second quarter itself, when it came to sign, so we had some part of the variable pay we had actually reversed in Q2, which obviously depressed our people costs last year, which was not really a reduction, it's just a provisioning. In the previous quarter, we got a little higher, and last year, this quarter, they got slightly lower. So that is nearly 4 crores is impact of reversal of provisions of variable pay last year in Q2. We had some very old cases. When I'm talking about old cases, this go back to year 2005 and before. sales tax cases on the freight cost, which were in dispute with the state government, because at that time sales tax used to be a state subject. With that many years gone, I think even government was a little bit keen, and so they had Telangana government, I'm talking about. Telangana government had actually floated a one-time settlement scheme saying you pay, I think they were saying 40% of the total claim and no penalties, no interest, nothing. I will just close all the files rather than having to go through the assessments all over again. And we took advantage of that. So these costs pertain to very, very old times. So we have taken a hit of about 1.8 crores purely on account of one-time settlement of the old sales tax cases. But to that extent, the balance sheet becomes more clean. When I mentioned to you that we also migrated to the next version of SAP and incurred all the costs, that cost itself is about 2 crores or rupees, which obviously had to be incurred when we were doing the project. And also in this quarter, we quite didn't expect the rains to be as heavy as they are. So we had already planned out some campaigns on our brand building, which again, over compared to last year, we spent about two crores more. So nearly 10 crores in fixed costs are, which are looking let's say higher than last year same quarter. They are more a distortion rather than an apple-to-apple comparison. So I just thought I'll place that for you in case that provides you a little bit better insight into why the results are where they are. They could have been perhaps if the 10 crores is not there on the ground, we obviously could have been 70-80 rupees per ton difference in cost. Coming to the balance sheet now, we have paid another 37 crores to our project debt in this quarter, total in H1 becoming 74 crores. So, and we today our, let's say, the project debt is now down to 236 crores. And our working capital borrowings at the end of the quarter are at 172 crores, which makes it a total debt of 408 crores. The 408 crores is debt which I would call interest-bearing debt. But this also has been helped by the fact that in the quarter, we managed to receive 38 crores from Karnataka government under their industrial policy, where we were supposed to get interest-free loan against the earlier VAT, and then after that it became state GST. So we got 38 crores interest-free loan. If you add that also, then the total debt will look like 446. But that debt is, like I said, interest-free for 10 years, and after that also is payable over 4 equal yearly installments. So it's nearly a 14-year debt which is coming to us, the interest-free. So we use that. Including that will be 446, but the debt-bearing, as I said, is 408 crores for those of you who like to estimate our financing costs. Other things we continue to do, excepting one more negative in this particular quarter, has been that rate shortages has been a big problem, and not just rate shortages, also the railway authorities, I think, to manage their shortage of rakes, they have actually been very, very, I would say, unfair to the industry by increasing their demurrage charges to 400-500% if it crosses a certain number of hours. And when we started seeing that was beginning to hurt us, we obviously rearranged our logistics. So as a result of that, from a 20% share of our volume that we moved using rakes last year has actually fallen to 15% in this quarter this year. So there's been a drop. Even the preceding quarter, it was 19%, but this quarter it's just fallen to 15%. The CAPEX obviously has been slow. We haven't started beyond the waste recovery plant and the fly ash waste handling system. We've not started any major expansion plan, brownfield or anything. And we didn't feel the need because the demand is so low, capacity utilization is so low. And there was no urgency as far as we are concerned to start constructing any capacity because we still are at a fairly low capacity utilization compared to, let's say, what we need to have. So those are, I would say, other things that I keep reporting to you. We keep redefining our customer base, channel base, brand presence. As I said, even in a poor year, poor quarter, we still invested more to create the awareness of our brand. And our ground services and delivery, I think we'll keep improving them almost every day that we work. So that, in a nutshell, is the complete summary of Q2 as I see it. But I'm quite conscious of the fact that no matter how much detail I share, there would still be more questions. So here I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the first question from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management Proprietorship. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. So you have very beautifully explained what the previous quarter and H1 has been like. So could you give some feelings about H2 also and how the Q3 is progressing? Because we are hearing that coal and everything is coming down now, the price wise, you know. So please go ahead.
Yeah, so in terms of cost prospects, it does seem that the costs are beginning to see some softening for sure. The good news that we have is that we already have bought in the ship. Actually, we're just offloading our petco. We've imported one shipload of about 55,000 tons of petco, which is beginning to now reach our plant. And obviously, if I told you that in Q2 our cost of petco was above 2,500 rupees per million kilocalories, this ship that we bought, the cost is coming to us at under 2,300, which is still much higher than what we have traditionally used to. But the 2,300 is a lot lower than what we've recently been incurring. More importantly, from the time we confirmed the order till now, the prices have moved up again. So we had a sweet slot which was available to us towards the middle of September. We took a call to book at that time rather than waiting for further fall to happen. And now, in hindsight, I can tell you it seemed to be a brilliant call because we booked at first best the lowest price of petcoke that was available. And after that, the prices have again moved up by $20, $25, $30 a ton. So certainly that's one softening. And I'm also hoping that as this softens, and I'm also hearing in the last 1 week or so, the South African coal, again, due to lack of interest from European Union, lack of interest even, let's say, from China and all, it's beginning to soften. If that softens, then obviously domestic miners like Singer and Coal India will also have to, because they all work in line with what the global price trend is. So on price trend, certainly we believe it will be softening. Our alternate fuels availability will also improve, which will again help our fuel mix towards cheaper fuel. The big question that I think all of us are still waiting for an answer to is how will the volumes be in Q3 and Q4? Now, unfortunately, the month of October gives no indication because October had we can't make an apple-to-apple again comparison because last year we had one major festival, which was Dussehra, in the month of October, and Diwali was in November. So the hit on the business which happens around Dussehra Diwali was split over 2 months. So today, my view is that October over last year perhaps has been subpar for most of the industry because when two festivals come, these two festivals actually cover all of India. Otherwise, Dashara in some parts is celebrated more, Diwali in some other parts, Durga Puja in some other parts. But this October, with all the festivals being in 1 month, has slightly distorted the picture. But October has been subpar in terms of volumes. Although in terms of pricing, we have seen some small improvement, but some improvement over the Q2 prices, certainly we've seen in October. In the month of November, we were hoping that the volumes would start picking up post-Diwali, post-Chhath Puja also got over towards the end of October. But as of now, quite frankly, we're still waiting for the kick in the demand that is overdue now to come in. And the only reason it seems to be, for some reason, the availability of labor still seems to be, I mean, earlier it used to be around Diwali, then it becomes Chhath Puja. This time, I don't know how you people are doing it. Even in a city like Delhi, where I'm trying to get some small repair work and some labor to be available, labor is just not there, which is perhaps holding back the growth in demand, which should happen around this time. You know, especially, you know, with such extensive rains in our catchment areas, if for nothing else, there is need for cement to do complete the repair works itself, which itself becomes significant demand after very high rainfall. So we are still waiting for the signs to appear. And do we have some improvement in price over October and November again? Yes, there is some improvement right now, but it's still too small for us to start talking about. And we don't even know whether this will sustain and build up further, which it needs to given the cost that we have. So it's a double-edged sword on the cost side. I'm sure there will be some savings, but unless we get the opportunity to sell, number one, more volumes, and also sell at a better price, the relief that we are all seeking in terms of significant improvement, I think, is dependent on those two things.
Thank you for that, sir. So my second question is regarding your future expansions. So balance sheet is in a very good state right now. Regarding your future expansion, sir, do you have the land and environmental clearances already in place, or is that an ordeal that you will have to go through before getting the financial closures?
I have the land and environment approval for my fourth line of developer. That's completely in hand. Okay, there we are only waiting for the demand to look better before I start putting up more capacity, because the utilization has been low. Chitapur, I have all the land and environment approval process on, but that's a simpler environment approval process. Chitapur won't take too long because it's in the middle of so many other plants, so it will come through very quickly. But Devapur, we already have. In Rajasthan, we don't even have the land.
Okay. Because land acquisition has become a very difficult process for any greenfield expansions, right?
No, it is difficult, but still, I'm sure you are getting one new greenfield capacity coming up. And we'll have to find a way. We'll have to be smart about how we go about it, but we'll get there. Rajasthan is too lucrative an opportunity for us to pass up because of difficulties. We'll have to find a way.
Okay. And sir, third question. What kind of savings can be brought about by WHRS in value terms?
See, as I've been saying earlier also, if you take the ballpark cost of 100 crores to put up a 10 megawatt waste recovery plant, the payback is just about 3 years.
Okay.
So now you can calculate if we are actually talking about 30 odd crores of savings on par coming per year from the time we start commissioning. And on a per term basis, you can calculate whatever it is. But at least for Chitapur plant, we know that's the saving that we're going to get, because this power comes practically without any operating costs.
Yes, it's very good savings. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll get back to the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rajesh Kumar Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. I may have missed in my opening remarks, but could you share what is the CapEx timeline by when this WHR and this Chitapur fly ash unit are expected to be commissioned?
I told you by the end of this financial year, both will be commissioned.
Both will be commissioned, okay. And sir, on the Tiroda, what is the progress?
Tiroda, unfortunately, we still have not been able to make progress there because while the environment clearance application is in the process, there's one document that we need from IGC which has still not come through. But the good part, at least what I can share with you, is that all of us have been anxious, and I've been sharing with you my own anxieties that Adani is now owning both Ambuja and ACC, whether they would still want us to put up a grinding unit and compete with their own plants. But fortunately for us, they have once again reconfirmed their intent to have a grinding unit with our plant. So it's a question of now timing, how quickly can we move the environmental application. So it's a bit delayed than more than what we would have liked, but it will happen. Exact timeline, the moment I have that, Rajesh, the availability of the document based on which we'll move the environment application, I'll let you know. But right now, sure. I have no line of sight, even if I say one more quarter, two more quarters.
Agree, sir. And coming to demand and the competitive intensity, sir, with the three companies ramping up volumes, Birla Corp, Dalmia, and Sri Cement in your markets, how is that impacting the volume for the incumbent players?
Well, again, Rajesh, it's a function of, is the impact there? Certainly it is there. Because obviously when more capacities come, every new incumbent who put up a large capex in an area, they will want to do something. So Dalmia have invested money, as you said, Birla Corp has invested money, so they are beginning to push volumes. The challenge that we are having is, do I start matching the low prices that they're offering in the market to defend my volumes? Or do I defend my brand for the longer term, saying I am not going to match their prices, I am going to stick to my brand positioning, I am going to do... It's a toss-up. Currently, our board who I brief every quarter. Currently, our board is saying, no, keep staying on with your branding, because in terms of, if you see with as I mentioned earlier, narrowing the price gap between us and the market leader, because I'm not benchmarking myself with other brands excepting the market leader. If I start chasing every new competition that comes and start matching their prices, my brand strategy and positioning will go for a toss. So currently we are suffering, and that's why I mentioned that our Chittapur capacity utilization has been a lot higher than our Devapur. It's largely because the new capacities that you're talking about are coming around the older plant, right? So it's been a hit. We are still sort of believing that the way we have introduced branding and the power of branding to a small manufacturer like our company is the right way for us to survive, because if we remain a commodity forever with these kind of capacities, we'll never be able to sort of get good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the toss-up. So we are sticking to our prices right now, not reducing them at all. When your competition starts selling product at 20 rupees, 25 rupees per bag lower than yours, I'm saying, mm-hmm, I'd rather not sell.
Okay. That's a good strategy, rather.
Yeah, it's good. In the short term, it will cause pain.
Correct.
And that's the patience we need to have. And let's see how it all pans out. But currently, you're right. With their capacity, and mind you, the new brands which are coming up, the brands that you named and I have named, they're largely hitting the B2B market with very low prices.
Correct.
Right. So which is not a game that we at Orient Cement will want to play anymore. We've done that in the past. We don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sir, would you share what was the clinker production in 1H?
Oh, I don't have the number in front of me. Can I share that separately? But like I told you, this one is more or less at par in terms of volumes of cement. And clinker, because of the adverse product mix towards OPC, obviously clinker production for us would have been a little more than what the sales reflect, right? Because the clinker is more in OPC.
Okay.
But not too big a difference between that number.
Okay. And sir, coming to the cost metrics, if I look at quarter on quarter on a per kilocal, could you share how much was the cost in June quarter per kilocal? Blended total would be more useful.
I'm just trying to look for my paper. My memory is not that sharp here. I'm an old man. the previous quarter. No, that blended is not in front of me right now. I'll have to... For H1 is 2358 that I have.
And Q2 you said was how much?
Q2 I had told you the blended overall fuel cost 2379.
Sorry, 2379.
Last year I gave you why I gave you 1336.
No, Q2. Sorry, I couldn't get your numbers.
2379.
H1 and Q2, and H1 is also 2358, right?
Yeah.
So your fuel cost is broadly stable quarter on quarter. Is that understanding right?
Yes.
Okay. And in this quarter, you are looking
It's about 1% more.
Yeah, this is okay. And given that players are reporting 10-20% surge in fuel cost quarter on quarter.
But this is the cost. Don't forget that a mix has changed for me, right? Because I've used more Chittapur capacity, using more pet coke and things, and more OPC has been sold than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Some impact will be there, but this is a very small variation. But broadly, you're right. I have a 2379 for the Q2 and 2358 for H1.
And there would be slight moderation, which you are expecting for Q3 from this numbers.
Yes. Okay. As I told you, the new pet coke, which has just about started arriving, will be under 2,300. Against the petcoke, only petcoke was 2,568 in Q2.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be at least a 10% plus saving.
And sir, with 1.5 months almost complete, how has been the pricing in your markets quarter on quarter?
Again, we come back to the same questions. I said in October we gained something over last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
In November also we gained some small. I mean, I'm talking about just a few rupees for that. In November also, so October had a slight gain over last quarter. In November, there's further slight gain as of now in the first few days in the month of November also.
So now from a quarter to quarter, do you expect that the realization should improve?
It should. They must. Otherwise, we know what kind of trouble.
No, I agree. They must, obviously. But so far, have you seen an improvement quarter on quarter? If prices were to stay where they are currently.
I've just answered that to you, Rajesh. I don't know how much detail can we share on one call where lots of people are waiting for the questions.
Mm-hmm.
I have already said there is some improvement in October over last quarter, and November there is further improvement.
Okay, so you mean
improvement
okay.
over this quarter.
Okay, versus quarter, if you mentioned, that is okay. That is what I wanted to know. Okay, sir. That's all from my end. We'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Uttam Kumar Srimal from Axis Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, can you please tell me what has been our blended ratio this quarter and premium cement sale out of trade sale?
In this quarter, yeah, I forgot to give you the number, 15%. That's the highest ever.
That is of premium cement?
Only strong concrete.
And what has been total, if you calculate total premium cement sale out of trade sale?
No, the other brand we launched very, very early in this month. It was not there last month.
Okay. And sir, what has been our blended...
15% premium sales, yeah.
Okay. And sir, what has been our blended ratio this quarter?
Blending?
Blended ratio.
God, I mean, no matter how many details, every time somebody will ask me a question for which I don't have a ready answer, I'll get back to you.
Okay, sir. Okay, and sir, what has been our...
Blending ratios are a function of your OPC-PPC mix, right? If I have sold more OPC, obviously my blending ratio is worse than this quarter. It's a very simple math. Exact number I'm not giving you, but I gave you the number that my OPC from about 39% year on year, it's gone up to 45%. That number I've given you. So OPC is unblended, right?
Okay.
PPC, which was 61% last year, is down to 55, which has that blending. So obviously, that ratio has worsened, although I don't have the numbers right now.
Okay. And sir, what kind of capex we are looking for in FY23 and FY24? Because earlier, you had guided for some 500 to 550 crore in FY23 and some 900 to 1000 crore in FY24. So is there any change in that capex amount?
See, the fact that in this particular year we have not been able to start any work at all. So obviously, in this year we would perhaps be spending a lot less than what we are expecting. But given the fact that we also want to be getting on with our expansion plan, it will get bunched up. So my own guess is in at least FY23, perhaps we would like to spend about 850 crores to stay on track with our growth ambitions.
In FY24?
FY24.
Okay. And sir, can you give a figure for rail and road mix?
I've just given 15% rail, bhai. Oh, God. I said because of all the reasons of rake availability and all, railway dispatches 15% in this quarter, down from 20% in the same quarter last year.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Dheeral from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, for the Q2, what was the fuel mix blended overall?
Okay, I don't know what will you do with it, okay, but I thought the cost was more important to you now what is the fuel mix. Okay. Let me again look at the numbers that are in front of me. There's no end to question, right? Even if they don't mean much.
For Q2, please mute your line. Please mute the line from your end, Dheeran, while the management is responding to the question. Thank you.
So for Q2, petcoke has become as high as 58% because more capacity is at Chitapur, so that's 58%. Domestic coal has actually fallen to 28%, which we used to have between 35-40%, that's 28% in Q2. And as I mentioned, imported coal also usage has been a lot higher because the good quality domestic coal we just couldn't lay our hands on. So I think 5-6% of imported coal would be, that's rough mix. Balance would be AFR all put together. Right?
Okay, sir, how many days of inventory we are holding right now?
I've just said we bought a shipload of coal, which for us at Chitapur plant, it will be nearly 3 months of inventory. And we are holding in the sense that we've received at the port, it's being shipped to our plant. At Devapur, we are keeping right now inventory between 2 to 3 weeks. So that's the mines are close by, we pick up from there and bring the coal to our plant. We don't stop more than that.
Okay. And sir, any volume growth guidance for FY23?
As your guess is as good as mine, guys. Till the market starts showing some indication. I can throw any number, but there's no basis that I have. I can only tell you my ambition, but we are, as I mentioned, despite all the festivals getting over, we are still not seeing the demand traction which we expect by at least this time. By early November, we thought October has not been great. November hopefully should start showing some traction because all festivals are over, but we haven't seen that growth as of now. So till we actually start seeing some trends, very difficult to hazard, I guess.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a final reminder. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Bajrang Kumar Bafna from Suniti Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you give us some sense on the Devapur extension plan? When do we expect this to get completed? You indicated something about Tirora, but can you guide something on the Devapur also, the fourth clinker line?
Now, fair enough. I think let me clarify, because you obviously don't have the information that earlier I've been sharing. Devapur expansion is linked to Tirora grinding unit.
Yes.
Unless I have a grinding unit, I already have enough clinker at Devapur to keep feeding those markets. Right? So till Tirora construction actually starts, starting Devapur too early would only be locking up the capital without any prospector utilizing the capacity. Right? So they are interlinked. Tirora and Devapur are interlinked. Tirora has to start first. And then immediately, because for Devapur, I have land, I have environment clearance, I have everything. I can start putting it up in 1 year's time. I'll have the clinker ready. But if I don't have the grinding unit ready, what will I do with the clinker? So I'm just being sane, just being practical, saying unless I'm able to dispose of the clinker on a new grinding unit, it may not help us by putting up the line 4 in Devapur.
Got it. And some sense on the Rajasthan side in terms of regulatory clearances, and how do we see that expansion plan goes in the future?
It is, I think, even to start the construction, there will take about 3 years, quite honestly.
Okay. And, sir, is there a possibility that till we start the construction in the Rajasthan side, the limestone that is there with us, can we expect some sale from there, some sort of outright sale? Is it possible?
I would never do that. No.
Okay, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Surya Nayak, an investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Nayak, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, is it clear now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes,
okay, thank you, sir. So just regarding the demand scenario, what you have painted during your opening remarks, that in your catchment area, so you see lower demand, and you are in fact craving for more of the government projects to come in to fill up the demand deficit that is currently going on. So in that light, just to want to understand why we are so much protective of the trade sales and not harboring into non-trade sales, at least to utilize more capacities to establish our markets when the newcomers are coming into our area. So at least to have a presence felt, because unless and until we see improvement in the utilization happening in the Devapur, we will not think of setting up the grinding unit at the Tirora. And so it is a quite linking project. So just to understand, why we are so much protective of the segments, I mean trade segments, why we are not opening the for the non-trade at least. Thank you.
I am selling to non-trade. My proportion already is 45% from 39%, as I mentioned. Only thing is, I'm not wanting to sell my product as cheap as some other manufacturers are selling. I never said I'm not doing B2B. 35% of my total volume this quarter has been B2B. So I'm selling, but I'm choosing my customer carefully where my prices are good. It does not hurt my brand. There are multiple things that we have to consider. Only volumes, if I want to do, I will never have a long-term strategy to improve from where we are. Nowhere did I say that I'm not selling to B2B. I am. Providing the price is the price that I want.
So what's that going forward, if we say when we will be looking for more of the government projects, then obviously we'll have to sell more of the OPC rather than PPC. So or the any other specialized events. So in that case, you know, then our compulsion would be to sell more of the OPC or the to the non-trade area rather than the trade area. So if the realty sector goes for some kind of slowdown because of the interest rate scenario, because already this is quite apparent. So my sense is that now, unless and until we attain a capacity utilization of at least 75% to 80% at Devapur, we will not think of expanding the greenfield at Tivora, that is a linking project. So what is the, why we cannot think of?
I think there's some confusion in your mind. I never said Tivora will hold back. I said Tivora we will for that we will need capacity at Devapur. Right. That's a different strategy. Strategy about not trying to sell too cheap around Devapur where some new competition are trying to gain market share in B2B segment are selling very cheap. That's where I'm saying, given my costs that we've had, even as it is, our EBITDA is barely 300 rupees. Would you be happy if I sold 20% more volume and incurred a loss? Would you be happy with that as a shareholder? You have to answer that question. Because if I said, and in the previous few quarters, you've seen the more the previous quarter that is not visible. But the previous quarter, we had which sold a lot more volume and they declared a lot more, let's say, decline in EBITDA and decline in profitability. We want to sell volumes, but we don't want to buy volumes for profitability. It's a slightly different approach. I think there is some confusion in your mind that which I am not able to clarify.
So what is the utilization level we are targeting at least for FY24? FY23 could be nearly similar to last year, what I feel, around 56%. So is there any chance to improve the utilization, overall utilization of Devapur and Chittapur put together?
Yes, we are very much trying our best to do that. Without sacrificing the price, please understand the strategy that we are talking about. I want to sell as much volume as possible. I would want to sell 80%, 90% of my capacity, but not at the cost of profitability. That's the differentiation I'm making.
But utilize the kiln, we will be able to get lesser of the waste heat recovery for power. That is also there.
Waste heat recovery is linked to a different investment. I need payback on that investment also. I can't invest 100 crores and reduce the cost and pass it on to my B2B customers. Then who will recover the 100 crores cost?
Okay.
This is not coming free. Please understand, 100 crores of investment. And all the reduction I'll pass on to the customers. Then what will the shareholders do to me?
At least now in the interim, 1 to 2 years, we may sacrifice for the sake of attaining a utilization level of, let's say, 80% or so, so that now we can think of improving the situation overall economically. So okay, then...
Yours is not a question. Yours is a suggestion to me. I take note of the suggestion. Let me put it back.
We are actually going so much digital into, we have gone into SAP HANA and all. So my request would be to at least give a detailed presentation after each quarterly result for highlighting all the KPIs. That would be nice, sir.
How many hours do I need to spend on doing this call then? Please, if you said detailed presentation on S4HANA, it takes me 3 hours when I go through the presentation.
No, I'm not linking to HANA. I'm talking of a detailed presentation, highlighting the KPIs of the company. So that would be...
I don't need to give you detailed presentation. All I can tell you is, after that you won't ask for it. In the company today, if I just give you some, in the quantitative KPI so that your curiosity is satisfied. I can't make a detailed presentation here. But all I can tell you is that my total power consumption, and tell me another company in the industry does that, my power consumption per ton of cement is at about 63. My heat consumption is about 680. What better can we do than this?
Okay, so I'm just taking the whatever the your in the industry the peers are doing. So that is what
in the investors' calls, I'm not going to lay out all that I do for my competitors immediately. I will not do it. I can give you the number and the outcome, but how I do it, I'm not going to tell.
Okay.
There are enough competitors who attend these calls. I'm giving you the outcome. As a shareholder, you're entitled to know the outcome. I'm telling you my power consumption, my heat consumption is amongst the absolute best in the industry. I've given you the number. 63, 680. Try to find too many companies who do that. How I do it is I'm not going to make an explanation or a presentation on that. I'm very clear. I do it with a huge amount of hard work and innovation and you know, all kinds of things. And suddenly to lay it out an investor call for everybody to come and listen and go and do it. Why would I do it? Fair, no?
Thank you for your response, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question and we will now close the question queue. I would like to hand it back to the management for closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I hope I have provided enough information. I can never say that I have provided you all the information that all of your curiosity might have as to if I'm doing S4HANA, how does it benefit, where did it get. Those details obviously are not fair for me to share publicly, especially on these calls. But anything which enables you to assess the quality of our operations, the quality of diligence through the outcomes that we are presenting, we are more than happy. I hope I provided you all the information. In case there is something missing, do reach out to my colleague Manish Agarwal, who is also on this call. So write to us, and if the information can be made public, we will share that with you and also put it up on our website. Is that fair?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much once again for your time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.